From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Michael Barr, and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports. Oh, it's that time of the year, one of my favorite times. It is fantasy football time, and we've got some of the greats here. The old band is back together again. Rich Truman, who's been doing this since they had leather helmets on the football field, and Damian Sassauer, both of you guys have a wealth of experience. I'm excited, guys, to be back.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's been a great preseason, limited as it may be. But I mean, look, as I've said in the past, I love watching preseason. I love watching the schemes that these offenses are going to try and run. I like the new coaching staffs, trying to see how they're going to deploy their players. I think you could pick up a lot from that, Michael.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Rich, this is the first time in a long time, where we've only had three preseason games instead of four. And we're playing 17 games for the entire season. Three games, is that enough?
Yeah, I mean, because most people rest their stars anyway. And keep in mind, there's 18 weeks of the season. So traditionally, week 14 was always the start of the playoffs. But now there are actually teams off on week 14. So if you're in a league, and we had to do this, you have to readjust your playoff schedule. Most will begin in week 15 now. So keep in mind, there is one extra game this year.
And there are many people that are still drafting out there. We understand that. The biggest thing, you can either go running back heavy, or you can go wide out heavy, or you can go quarterback heavy. It depends on your strategy, on what you want to do. Rich, you were saying something.
You know, in our draft, I was trying to do best player available. So sometimes, you know, you might have a strategy. I want to go heavy on running backs. I want to go heavy on wide receivers. But if there is a really, really good player that's sitting there, you might want to just get the best player available, because A, you could use that person as a flex, and B, it helps you possibly with trade bait down the line. I was happy in our draft, which I'm not going to get into too much, but I picked up two good tight ends, Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson. I plan on playing both of them, but I totally plan on trading one of them as the season goes on.
I think it's easier said than done, right? Because if you do start your draft going RB, you can't really go running back in the third round there now, can you? I mean, you can, but, you know, it does create some issues for you at other positions. But, you know, I think the reality is, for me, the wide receiver position this year looks incredibly, incredibly deep. I mean, all the way down to guys like Jacoby Myers, Corey Davis, Mecole Hardman. I mean, those guys could be starting on a lot of teams this year. So, you know, for me, I was kind of more focused on the other positions and trying to fill those gaps early and wait on receiver late.
Plus, we always know injuries happen. And last year, case in point, McCaffrey and Barkley went down right away.
Right.
So one of my draft strategies has been, and I did it this year, I will take the backups to the stars, the so-called handcuffs, like A.J. Dillon, the handcuff to Aaron Jones on Green Bay, Madison, the handcuff to Dalvin Cook, and so on. So that's another strategy, if you still have a draft, that you can incorporate.
Yeah, basically for our listeners, just so you know, what Rich did was he forgot to draft running backs early, so he just basically backed up on everyone else's running backs this year.
Which brings to the point about handcuffs. And many people think that, listen, if you have XYZ running back as your main running back, you also have to get the handcuff. But you could also get a running back that is in that tier one, tier two, that is going to be just as the same. And I bring that up because we're dealing now with a COVID year. Mm-hmm. And if the person has COVID, that's it. They're not playing. That's and it. A lot of leagues are saying, well, what do we do? Do we put them on the IL? And some leagues are saying, well, Damian, tough.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, look, you know, we tried instituting an IR position last year, you know, and what happens is with these Yahoo, CBS, whatever it is, ESPN, they just can't keep up with the NFL COVID or the IR designation, I guess. So we scrapped it this year. It was just a wash, you know. I mean, look, if you want to, you know, build a little bit more flexibility into your lineups and into your league, you do that by adding a roster spot.
Let's talk players because people are listening to us. They want to talk. They want to hear who we like. I'm going to bring up a name, and I want to hear your guys' opinion. Saquon Barkley obviously missed basically all of last season with a torn ACL. He's back. He might be limited at the beginning of the season, but how do you guys see Saquon Barkley this year?
God, I hope so, because, well, let me put it this way. A certain announcer has him in a few leagues. and I know you'll see the big question mark when you see Saquon Barkley, but if you read all of the stuff, Saquon appears to be healthy. He appears to be in good shape, and he appears to be ready to go. I don't have a problem of taking a chance on him. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, his ADP is at 12, right? And that's right where he should go, at the end of the first round. You know, I've seen him slide even later than that. You know, I mean, what's interesting to me, if you want to talk first round running backs, is how guys like Aaron Jones and Austin Eckler are really jumping up. I mean, jumping up in front of guys like Barkley and Zeke and some others, you know? And I think that's interesting to me because, look, I mean, Aaron Jones could be a top three back. Eckler, when he actually did play, you know, performed like a top three back in most weeks. So, you know, those are the guys that stand out. Others that Jonathan Taylor, a little less confident with, just because, you know, the body of work isn't there for me.
I want to ask Rich also, you talk about players, and it messed up a lot of strategy for a lot of players when J.K. Dobbins went out for Baltimore. Now, how high does that bring up Gus Edwards in his ranking when it comes to running back?
Gus Edwards has definitely risen. I don't think the Le'Veon Bell acquisition is going to do anything to offset that. But just keep in mind, Lamar Jackson's going to run in a lot of touchdowns. Yeah. So I think his ADP might be a little higher than I would like it, but he's definitely going to be a viable running back this year.
Yeah, but I think that defense in Baltimore is still pretty nasty. And so for me, you know, if they can keep those games close, they're going to, you know, they're going to have to run Gus Edwards, I think. So, you know, I like Gus Edwards. You know, in that middling kind of running back tier, those guys like Miles Gaskin, Darrell Henderson, Gus Edwards, and so forth, you know, that's where your draft's going to be made. If you get that pick right and you have some great quality receivers and one of those guys turns out to be an RB2 for you, that's going to be a home run scenario.
Hey, one guy in that vein, I like Raheem Mostert. I had him last year. I know he's injury prone, but when he's healthy, he averages like 5 yards a carry. They played him on the first drive of the last preseason game when they played their starters, and I believe he had 51 yards rushing on that first drive. So he's another guy that I think could be targeted in the leagues, and as Damian said, in that fifth, sixth round.
And that could be because, you know, with San Francisco, I want to see how deep they're going to go with their running game, and Mostert could be huge for that.
Yeah.
Another thing that has happened, and if I'm a kicker, I'm pretty doggone mad, because a lot of leagues have just say, forget the kicker. Or even a lot of teams, the Detroit Lions at one point, cut both of their kickers at one point, and then they finally said, okay, well, we'll put one kicker back on. But my point is, people want to just shoo the kicker away. The kicker is a very important element of the team, Rich.
It is. And, you know, if you're in that vein, a lot of people like Booker of Kansas City because their offense is so powerful. Justin Tucker, the Ravens, because as Damian said, they pound the ball a lot. Their defense is good. He actually usually has a lot of field goals every year. So field goal kickers could be very valuable, like you said.
Can I ask you a question, guys? I mean, you know, what do you guys think of the Cowboys this year? Because for me, you know, I saw that injury to Dak Prescott last year, and that scared me. I still have nightmares about it. Is there any way he can come back as quickly as this and be the same player or be fantasy relevant to the extent that we're seeing guys like CeeDee Lamb, you know, Cooper, you know, Zeke, all these guys going in the top three rounds? I mean, you know, what are your thoughts there about the Cowboys this year?
Do you actually have nightmares about that?
I do. I love Dak Prescott. I had Zeke last year, so when he went down, I believe me, I have nightmares.
Well, that brings up another point, because one of my favorite pools I like to get in, Survivor pools. And Tampa Bay, they're playing the Cowboys. And Tampa Bay, in many Survivor pool experts, are saying that's the number one team to pick if you want to move on to round two. Now, another one is also the Los Angeles Rams. But to answer your question, what you're saying, Damian, is that Dallas, I wonder, because, you know, Dak was really knocked out.
Yeah.
And I worry about that. Which brings me to the point, what do you guys think? I don't know if you guys do Survivors. Do you do Survivors, Damian?
I do. I mean, look, you know, I mean, I agree with you. A 7.5-point spread, Cowboys, Tampa Bay. I mean, my quant guru, Chad Minnick, and his team of fantasy number crunchers out of University of Wisconsin, they think that that game is going to be, you know, 52-point over-under. It's going to be a high score. What I also find is an interesting one is this Ravens-Raiders game. A lot of guys are kind of looking at that. You know, Ravens is favored by, I think, 5 points, but you know, it's hard to trust because, you know, the Ravens have that defense. And I think, quite frankly, I think Las Vegas has a pretty tough defense as well. And so it's going to be, I could see this game going way under.
One thing I'm going to bring up to you guys, and we should answer some of these questions that we bring up because we seem to move on to different topics. Travis Kelce, by far the number one tight end going in drafts. I've seen him as high as 5 in some drafts, yep. But he's usually going mid to late first round. Do you take a tight end as valuable as he is with your first pick?
Well, I think you do. I mean, it's got to be late in the first round for me. And the reason is this. He is the number one target for Pat Mahomes in the Kansas City offense. And so, you know, he's really a receiver in a position where the drop-off is so significant. I mean, after him and Waller, I mean, there's a huge gap between Waller and Kittle, you know? And then after that, I mean, it goes, what, Hawkinson, Andrews, these guys fall off a cliff. And so, you know, to get a solid tight end in a standard, you know, one quarterback, two running back, three receiver flex league, is a win. But, you know, you're going to have to get a running back on the comeback, and you're going to have to, you know, figure your way through that. Certainly, you know, you're probably going to be light at receiver if that's your team.
Well, that brings up another strategy when you're drafting. You could conceivably take Pat Mahomes and then in the second round get Travis Kelce. So there's your 1 and 2.
I think it would be the opposite way, though. I think Kelce would go before Mahomes.
Not if we're talking a super flex league, where obviously Michael Barr forgot to draft quarterbacks, but nevertheless.
Oh, we'll talk later. Anyway.
It's all right. I got plenty of them for you.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, before we wrap this up, any team that is out there that you think, what in the Sam Hill are they going to do this season? And out of the 32 teams, this is going to be a woeful year. And I'll start with Rich.
I saw an interesting fact on NFL Network that I believe, and I don't want to misquote, but in 16 of the last 18 years, teams have gone from worst to first. A couple of candidates that were worst last year in their division that could be rebounding this year, in my opinion, the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. Obviously, the Herculean task for the Broncos to finish first against Kansas City, but I think those two teams are on the upside. I know Damian's high on the Denver running back they drafted. Williams is a possible player that could excel. Judy was a rookie last year, came on at the end, had a couple of drops, but he could be a valuable player to get in the mid-rounds. Cortland Sutton's back from an injury. Drew Lock is not quarterback, it's Teddy Bridgewater, so he's a little more stable at the quarterback position. And then when you go to the 49ers, most people think Trey Lance will eventually take that starting position. If Kittle could stay healthy, he's valuable. Debo Samuel is a wide receiver. Ayuk is a wide receiver. I said before, I like Mostert. So there's some valuable guys on those two teams if they rebound.
You know, I have to stick in the NFC West, but the most interesting team for me has got to be the Rams. You know, what's Matt Stafford, you know, going to look like on that team, passing away to Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee? And they have a tough defense also. So do they even need to air it out to the extent that you see these guys going high in drafts? So for me, that's a pretty big mystery. I'm looking forward to seeing how that one shakes out.
What about you, Michael? Who do you have, a sleeper? You like someone you like?
I was going to say Gus Edwards. That's my sleeper for the year. And as for Matt Stafford, is what we're talking about. Yes, you know why I have this look on my face.
It's the Detroit Lions fan we're talking to
here.
Oh,
listen, I get it. But hey, I mean, you know.
You got Jared Goff.
You got
now.
Jared Goff.
I mean, so you got TJ Hawk. You got this guy Swift. What do you think of that kid Swift running?
Yes,
that?
Yes. I mean, that's another sleeper. And see, that's on a team where, you know, nobody's really looking at the Detroit Lions, but that's the team that you need to be looking at, or teams that you need to be looking at, where you don't think that they're not going to do anything. But it doesn't make a difference whether they win or lose. You don't make the money off of that when you're doing your fantasy team. You want them to rack up the yards.
What about Damian Harris on the Patriots? No Cam, so he's not going to steal goal line rushing touchdowns. No Sony Michel. He's actually on the Rams now.
Well, they've got that Burkhead's great rookie running back.
But you know,
whose name I can't pronounce.
Belichick, you know, Belichick is unpredictable with fantasy guys, but he's another guy that if he hits, he could hit big, Damian Harris.
Well, that's the problem I have, is that you don't know what is going to be in the backfield for the New England Patriots, even though they've gotten rid of some guys. I don't know what's going to happen. By the way, before we wrap this up, Latavius Murray, he's now been let go.
I drafted him in our league. Sorry, Charlie.
Well, I don't think he's going to be a free agent for long. What do you think?
I don't think so. And look, I mean, you know, I can't let this podcast end without a shout out to my New York Jets. I mean, we have Sam Darnold now. We have a backfield by committee approach as well. But the one
you don't have Sam Darnold now.
Sam Zach Wilson. But, you know, what I meant to say was it's that running back by committee that's interesting to me because everyone's thinking it's Tevin Coleman. Maybe it's this new kid, Michael Carter. This kid, Ty Johnson, was running really hard in preseason. I think he's going to get some looks there. And if he continues to run behind that offensive line, I'm talking Becton, Moses, I mean, that could be interesting. But yes, Zach, I'm sorry about that little name, that little brain fart.
Just drop the name in there. All right.
Please do that for me, Charlie Vollmer.
Damian Sassauer and Rich Truman, the extraordinaires of fantasy football sports. Thank you. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, and we are talking fantasy football. Come join us for the next several weeks. We're here Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And you can catch our podcast wherever you get them, from Apple or wherever. I'm Michael Barr. Follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.